The process of tintype is a relatively fast and furious type of process, very much like looking at pulling Polaroids, except you're working with an 18th century process that is a matter of pouring on some what they call collodion, hence the name, the wet plate collodion. Then the collodion plate is placed into a bath of silver nitrate. That silver nitrate makes the plate light sensitive. So from that bath, after the sensitization, that will then go into your plate holder. And that plate holder then goes into the camera, the photograph is taken, and then it must come back to the dark room in less than 15 minutes, depending on the climate that you live in. Sometimes it's less, but you've probably only got about 15 minutes to process it. And once it's developed, it's washed, fixed, and you have your final image.
So you have to be quite close from your subject matter to your darkroom.
Yes, so the dark room is essential only for a few moments, really. So a lot of people will have mobile dark rooms. They'll use the back of their vans, back of their cars. They'll make all these boxes. They'll work in tents, although it may just work close to home, like I do, and I can just walk back into my dark room, which is the easiest way of going. Because you have to actually carry around baths of silver nitrate, which can blind you if you have it splashed in your eyes. So it's quite problematic. Also, the collodion that you work with is made from gun cotton dissolved with nitric acid, and then we have ether and alcohol added, so it's a pretty volatile cocktail of chemicals.
You recently had a visit from quite a large mobile darkroom. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Craig Tuffin came down from northern New South Wales, right on the border of Queensland, with his mobile darkroom and his van, which he converted into a camera. And he basically, on his travels down, slept in his camera. So he slept in the bellows of his camera on his way down. So it was pretty exciting to see someone take a photograph from the back of the van. The photograph was 23 inches by 30 inches, so a very large plate. Craig has built up his skills to be able to pour a plate of this size.
So would that have been the largest plate that you've seen?
It is the largest plate I have seen in Australia, and it's the largest mobile camera I've seen in Australia.
Now, Ellie, let's take a look at one of the other exhibitors' works. Over here are four portraits by Tim Bauer. Tell me more about his work.
Tim Bauer has got a substantial history in portrait photography and has photographed some pretty renowned people right around the world. So it was fantastic having him come to the workshop, and he still has this real passion for portraits and photography. And these images, I think, are a wonderful collection. One of his daughter, where you can see some of the interesting effects that happen to the collodion process, where it's not perfect, but it gives you just a wonderful feeling in the portrait.
He's photographed the likes of Audrey Hepburn and Kylie Minogue and Heath Ledger and quite a few other renowned people, as you said. How did he respond to the workshop?
Oh, with passion, with gusto. Just fell in love with the process. He started his career photographing celebrities right around the world, even Audrey Hepburn. And he's still a freelance photographer in Sydney and works for the Good Weekend, which was one of his clients. He's photographed people like John Howard, Margaret Thatcher, such an amazing array of different people. And it's his fabulous personality that draws people in. And I think you can actually see this in his tintype, so just wonderful.
The photos definitely have a different feel to digital photos that you'd see in magazines and on the internet everywhere these days.
Yes, they are unique. The process has such a fine grain, it's virtually grainless. That's one of the things that really appeals to a lot of people. Its compression of tones also makes it quite unique, so that your yellows and your reds all compress down. Because it's responsive to blue light and UV light, if you've got blue eyes, your eyes will actually almost look white because of the way this particular solution responds to light.
And so they can have a bit of a spooky feel.
They do, and it's that compression of tones. And when you photograph someone, they'll say, "It doesn't look like me at all because my skin tones changed, my eyes look different, everything looks different." And of course, you're photographing back to front. So you see yourself in reverse, which can be a little bit disconcerting for some people. I guess Sonia Mikhak's work with children gives you a completely different feel. When you look in one part of the image, there's the cap and the eyes, and you feel like you step back in time completely until you sort of slide your eyes down and you notice that the child has a wee in their hand, and that was the only way that Sonia could get her son to sit there quietly and look like he came from another century, was making him hold the wee. So...
How have you seen the interest in tintype change over the last few years?
Massive. I started teaching this process about 4 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, and slowly people would start coming in. Now it's just overwhelming. It's really such a basic early process and so unique. I find that quite exciting, and the resurgence doesn't seem to be dropping off. It only seems to be getting greater and greater. And I'm finding a lot of university students are coming down. They want to use that as their final folio. It is so different. It is you taking the photograph, you pouring the plate, you controlling the whole process from beginning to end. In less than 10 minutes, you've got a permanent image in your hand that is unique. It can't be reproduced. It can't be replaced. It is one-off. And I think with the change of digital becoming so easily accessible to everybody, and we use it so freely, people are searching for something that's a little bit beyond the norm, and this certainly does that. There's nothing else quite like it.